Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
First of all, I've rebranded to Uncle Kiwi, so how dare you call me Wheels. Yeah.
Uncle Kiwi, who hates all nieces and nephews.
I told you, you weren't there. I did refer to myself as Uncle Kiwi to your kids. I think they thought I was a creep.
Yeah, confirmed. By the way, my brother Sammy refers to nephews and nieces collectively as nibblings. Is that a real word, or did he invent that?
Okay. He made that up, but it's not bad. I do think there needs to be a cumulative word for nephews and nieces. Some countries, and our guest, who we'll speak to in a minute, I think speaks a lot of languages, so they could probably answer this question better than, you know, two dummies who basically barely speak English can. But I think there definitely needs to be a word for, I'm going to guess German has a word for that. Like, there has to be a word for, you know, you have an uncle or an aunt. I guess there's no overall word for uncle slash aunt. But there's definitely no word for niece slash nephew. But nibblings is good. Sammy's English is very questionable, famously. He moved overseas and became the first expat I've ever met who somehow forgot English, even though I think he only speaks English to his wife. But nibblings, I'll give Sammy that.
That's good. And you live in a country where they don't even have a word for niece and nephew, which is kind of insane at all.
Yeah, as Ben Dode. Yeah, Ben
you
Dode,
call them a son or a daughter of an uncle or an aunt. Which is very ridiculous.
No. But first of all, there's not even a word in modern Hebrew. There's not even really a word for the difference between like toes and
yeah.
And
it's your funny. Foot. I was about to give that example also. Toes and fingers. Yeah.
There's no word. If you like, I didn't even say foot. Like when I broke my foot last month or 2 months ago, I just said I broke my regal, my leg. So I think people like thought it was a much better injury than it actually was.
Yeah,
I
got much. You didn't more tell sympathy, them the story. You know,
A broken leg is a much bigger deal than a stupid broken foot, which, by the way, still hurts. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. All right, so let's jump right into it this week. You and I have been discussing the state of the world, how well things are going, and we decided, you know, there really hasn't been a world war in quite a long time. Mm. So why don't we play, you know, whatever small role we can in fomenting another one, possibly causing strife and conflict, and at the very least, this podcast is sure to get canceled by this episode.
Oh yeah, this could be it. Yeah. This could get canceled, or this episode could be deleted by like Friday morning, right after it goes up. This could
for sure.
This could join a couple other illustrious episodes getting the delete.
Yeah. Now it was going to be worse than it's going to be now. Like the initial plan was. So we'll get right into this. So basically, you and I are going to decide which country is the king or queen or non-gender specific leader of Europe. Mm-hmm. And originally, our goal was let's rank all 50 countries in Europe, or 51, really. And then I said to you, you know, this is kind of a bad idea because if we go out and say explicitly that Moldova is like 49th, then we're really pissing off the Moldovans. Whereas if we do it as a tournament, then maybe Moldova is actually like the third best country in Europe. It just ran into, you know, the second best in the first round.
Right. It just means you're not number one. Losing, the only thing losing means. Although, I guess if you lose to someone who loses, someone who loses, someone who loses.
Well, it's all about
the theory.
The
you could get knocked down to 5 or 6.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so that's a long way of saying, or not saying, but let's get to it. This week, we are going to determine the 2019 champion of Europe. So every country in Europe has entered a bracket, and we are going to see who wins. What is the best country in Europe? That is the question today.
Yeah, that's what we're going to solve. By the end of this, we will know definitively what is the best country in Europe.
But now, you and I are clearly experts on Europe. We've been to every country in Europe.
Yeah, if you want to know anything about Europe, I'd say I've spent cumulatively max 1 week in Europe in my life. I've been to a lot of countries, but always for like one day or like a Pearl Jam concert.
I've spent more than that, but not much. I'm under a month total. So the point is that we probably need a guest who has a little bit more expertise.
We've also never played in the NFL, but we know a lot about the NFL. You know, true. You don't have to be there in 2019.
True, that's true. But also, I mean, we need, if for no other reason than when we're doing a tournament, we need somebody to break ties. So either way, we needed a guest today.
Yeah, you need an odd number.
Yeah. Now, so who do we have as a guest? Why don't you introduce our guest, Keith?
Okay, so so when we thought of this, we figured like when we did this for states a couple years back, we had Antonio Mazzaro to sort of balance out our East Coast bias and break the ties. And he's like an all-American guy. So I figured like who's the most – is there such a concept as all-European? I don't know. But I figured this was like the most all-European person I know. So our friend our friend from the RHAP world, Pia. I don't even have your last name in front of me. Virolainen, I think is Virolainen. I don't have it.
Virolainen.
Yeah, okay, it was pretty good, especially considering I'm not even looking at it. Pia, can you give us your Euro CV for a second, please?
Well, I'm a Finn. Hello, everyone. I'm a Finn. I grew up in Finland, but I live in Hamburg, Germany, work everywhere worldwide, but mostly in Europe. And at the moment, I'm on the Canary Islands, so I think I do qualify.
Oh, wow.
I'm looking forward to
Chester, do you know what country the Canary Islands are in?
No, I do not.
All right, that's why Pia's here.
Is it great? Is it part of the United Kingdom?
It's part of Spain, what? Right?
Oh, Spain?
Yes, Spain, yes.
Okay.
Canary Islands are located off the coast of Africa, across from Morocco, if you know where Morocco is. Mm-hmm. So I'm basically in Africa, so I can diss everyone in Europe. Maybe they won't let me back in then, but you know, I'll do my best.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Looking forward to starting.
But Pia, you know, and I think a lot of our interactions on Twitter have sort of been to sort of this idea of like Americans know very little about Europe.
Oh, yes.
If I want to be mean, I say, like, you know, if you follow European football, like the guys on Manchester United don't know the players on Yeovilton. That's how Americans act towards European countries.
I am sure this was a great, great, great way of putting it. However,
don't Pia, but nobody understood that reference. Don't worry.
No, I'm glad to hear that. Thank you.
But like Chester's one of our best. Like Chester, they let him into like the best school. He doesn't even know where the Canary Islands are. He's never heard of them. You can imagine what the dumb Americans know about.
Wasn't it a place that they'd send? Not Napoleon, but it was a prison that they sent people to, wasn't it?
No, that was Elba, my love. That was Elba.
Okay. Swing it a miss.
Canary Islands is where Columbus started his journey to discover you guys.
Okay. You guys? Who are you calling you guys?
Well, you know, I don't know what passport do you have?
I don't think our relatives were there yet.
Probably not.
Speaking of our relatives, Akiva, our relatives came from a number of countries in today's bracket, but for some reason are no longer there. So,
no, none of our relatives are there. Yeah, I would say my immediate ancestry of countries we're going to be talking about today, my grandmother, who I never met, died in 1976, was born in Vienna, which I have been to.
Which country is that in, Chester?
Austria. Come on, give me a little
Oh, good job.
Vienna's pretty famous. I have been to Austria, again, for a Pearl Jam concert, not to, like, visit any old, like, family. I mean, we do, technically, I think, still own, like, a building there. They just probably won't give it to us, like, our house.
By the way, I think visiting Europe for the purpose of a Pearl Jam concert is, like, the most imperialistic American reason to go to Europe possible.
It's close. It really is close. Yeah. Excellent.
All right, Akiva, so you have some Austrian heritage. What else?
Well, that's I'm really, I'd have to go much further back. I think Wienerker ultimately might be Russian, but I'm American, and famously I'm one quarter Canadian. But going back, I think on the Wienerker side, I'm like many generations New Yorker.
Well, what do you mean many generations? Nobody from your family was in New York before.
I think Ella
Wienerker
would probably be like six. My great grandfather was a New York City bus driver.
In what year?
I feel like his dad. I mean, when were their buses? Couldn't have been too long ago, right?
Yeah, that's true. True.
Probably the 30s?
Yeah.
Were there buses in the 30s?
All right, so let's see. So my father's family, he sort of famously would never admit where he was from, the one who changed his name to Chester. But we have it's actually an interesting story how we found out where he's from. My grandmother, his wife, was relatively short, and so my grandfather, who I'm named after, who changed his name to Chester, he was an artist, and he designed a little stool for her to step on to look through the peephole to see when people were coming to the house when he wasn't home. And he designed on the top of the stool. Have I told the story before, by the way?
No, I've never heard this.
Okay. He designed on the top of the step stool an artistic design of the signs of the zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a guy who, you know, again, claimed to be born in Canada. Sometimes would joke and say he was born in England, which is why his name was Chester. But we know came from somewhere in Europe at some point in the early 20th century, but to Canada. But we never knew exactly from where. So fast forward many, many years, and I think in the 80s or maybe the early 90s or so, my parents were in the Museum of the Diaspora in Tel Aviv, and there's one room in that museum which has sort of little mock-ups, little artistic representations of various synagogues from around the world. And in addition to that, they have a miniaturized version of the painting that's the relief that's on the ceiling from one old synagogue in Europe, and it's from the city of Chaderdau. Or Chadarov, or Chadarov, or it's pronounced different ways, which was somewhere in between Ukraine and Poland, depending on when you were looking.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah. And my family's name, my grandfather changed it from Chester, or to Chester, from Chadarkov. So we realized that he must have been from the city of Chadarov or Chadardow or whatever, and that's why his name is Chadarkov. Because the reason I bring this up is because the design of that synagogue relief was identical to the design that he made on this stool 40 years later for his wife.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's cool. So cool.
So he must have subconsciously had this image in his head from when he was a child, and so that's how we sort of determine where he's from. So that side of the family is from, you know, / Ukraine or Poland, depending on, you know, what time of history you're looking at, you know, Western Ukraine or Eastern Poland. My grandmother, his wife, is from Zhytomyr, which also is not too far away in Western Ukraine. My grandparents on my mother's side are from Lithuania, although my grandfather was born in Riga, which is the capital of Latvia, which is another Baltic state. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother was born in South Africa, but her family came from Lithuania. So those are my countries, Lithuania, Latvia, Ukraine, Poland, I guess.
That's very cool.
All competitors today.
My last name means someone from Estonia, as in Estonian.
Oh, another Baltician, Baltesian? What's the term you use?
Yeah, but no one knows if someone actually came from Estonia. Maybe it was just a rumor or something, and someone picked up that name. It comes from Karelia, which is the very eastern part of Finland on the border to today's Russia. So maybe there are some people coming from there. But yeah. Anyway.
So you've listed all the countries that you have a connection to, and I've listed mine, and Kiev has listed his. So let's jump right in. So now I've been getting calls all morning from diplomats asking me if various countries and declared entities are going to be entered into this tournament. And so we have a very open mind. As long as you are recognized by any other country, even if the country that recognizes you in and of itself is not recognized by any other country in the UN, you have an opportunity to be in our tournament. However, if you're not recognized by the majority of UN states, you're going to have to play in a play-in matchup to get into the actual tournament.
Okay.
This is the Eurovision semifinal.
Yes.
I thought you were going to make play FIFA rules, but then that really knocks out the Vatican, which doesn't have a soccer
team. Which has 800. Yeah. So the way we've done this is I've divided it into regions based on geography. So we have 12 countries in Northern Europe, 12 countries in Eastern Europe, 12 countries in Western Europe, and then 12 countries in Southern Europe. But really, we have more than 12 countries in Eastern Europe because we have all the play-ins of the various caucus countries, and you know, that are all going to try and make those seeds. So we'll get to that in a second. But we're going to start.
I thought we're going to do it by population.
Yeah, and then within each group, it's the seeds are from 1 to 12 based on population.
Oh, okay, got it.
Now you are right. Some regions are much stronger than others. You know, the total population of the Western region is 234 million. The total population of the Southern region is just 99 million, because in the South you have all the former Yugoslavians countries are all their own countries now, and so put it this way: in Southern Europe, the three seed is Bulgaria, which has just 7 million people. Whereas the three seed in Western Europe is Spain, which has 48 million people. So yeah, so the Southern region, some might be calling a relatively weaker region, but I don't want to insult any of those countries, so I wouldn't say that. So yeah,
not yet.
Yeah. So we're going to jump right into this. So we're going to start with the play-ins in the European region. And the way I did this is, there's a number of countries that are in both Europe and Asia. Now, famously, Turkey and Russia are literally, you know, the western parts of those countries are in Europe and the eastern parts are in Asia. I'm not talking about them. Turkey and Russia clearly have to be in this tournament. I'm talking about countries that, depending on your definition, could be in Europe or in Asia. When you look at list of countries in Europe, they're on the list. And if you look at list of countries in Asia, they're on the list. So these Eurasian countries have to win play-in matchups to get here. So first, to get in as the sixth seed in the Eastern European bracket, we have a matchup between Kazakhstan and Azerbaijan. So, Kiev, what's your take on Kazakhstan versus Azerbaijan? Which is the better country? Who gets to advance?
Okay. Yeah, and we're determining this as better, and Alex, myself, and then Pia may have completely different, and almost certainly will have completely different criteria. But I think, so my history with the two countries is as follows. For Kazakhstan, I've seen the movie Borat. And, yes. And for Azerbaijan, so when I worked on the NBC Olympics, I did boxing. I did the statistics for boxing with Muhammad Ali's daughter. No brag, no big deal. I never was able to pronounce Azerbaijan. It was one of these like words that get in your head that you absolutely can't pronounce it, to the point where it was a joke in the room. Like, hey, Kiva, what's that country called again? And I was like, I would call it like Azerbaijan. Like, the whole few weeks we were doing this, I could not pronounce it. So Azerbaijan has embarrassed me publicly, whereas Kazakhstan is not. Therefore, Kazakhstan advances for me.
Okay. Now, I actually did some real research into all these countries, shockingly. Mm-hmm. So, for example, Azerbaijan, did you know?
That's cheating.
The first democratic Muslim state in 1918, before it was subsumed by the USSR. That's really all I know about Azerbaijan. Kazakhstan, as you said, most famous, unfortunately, for Americans for Borat.
The Kazakhstan scenes in Borat were actually filmed in
Romania or something. No,
Romania. Yeah, which is a plus for Kazakhstan, because I think they thought Romania would look would look worse, and Sacha Baron Cohen, like, I don't even think he stayed there. Like, I think he was like, you know, stayed somewhere else, or at least not in that, like, you know, village. So that's probably a plus for Kazakhstan.
Yeah. By the way, Kazakhstan is the ninth biggest country in the world by area. It's very big. Yeah. Their first president, their only president for a long time, Nazarbayev, he just resigned in March, just a couple months ago. In 1997, they moved their capital from Almaty to Astana. And this year, with Nazarbayev resigning, his first name is Nursultan. So they've actually renamed their capital city from Astana to Nursultan after their departing dictator. So,
isn't this the guy who also named the months after his like mom and his sister and all that? He was amazing.
Yeah, no, so I think that's not Turkmenistan. Oh. I think that's Turkmenistan, Pia.
Not even
Turkmenistan. Oh, sure.
So, which is in Asia, technically.
So Kiva's voting for Kazakhstan because Azerbaijan embarrassed him. I'm voting for Azerbaijan because, again, it was a democracy in 1918, whereas Kazakhstan is not a democracy in 2019. So I'm voting for Azerbaijan. So, Pia, you're going to have to be a tiebreaker in this first matchup.
Break this tie.
Listen, Kazakhstan are not in Europe. I'm so sorry. Anyone with a border with China doesn't.
I agree with you, but neither is Azerbaijan.
This is, but they're more in Europe. Kazakhstan has a literal damn border with China. Come on.
Yes. Okay. So Kazakhstan, you get the boot. Sorry. So Azerbaijan advances, and Azerbaijan will be our sixth seed, actually.
Pia coming at us with facts. I don't know. This bodes well for us. Yeah.
All right. Now for the nine seed in that same region, we have another matchup between two countries that aren't really part of Europe, which is Georgia and Armenia. Now, Georgia is going to become very involved in the next play-in because there's a bunch of parts of Georgia that think they're their own countries. We'll get to that in a second.
Oh,
but Kiev, Georgia versus Armenia, what's your take?
Yeah, I mean, Armenia's got a quarter. I've been to the Armenian quarter, even though I've never been to Armenia, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing. The Armenian quarter is good. It's definitely, it's on the Mount Rushmore of quarters in the Jerusalem, in the old city of Jerusalem.
Okay.
Capital, I think, is Yerevan. It's got 3 million people. Georgia, my problem with Georgia is, I don't know, it confuses dummies like me.
With the country and the state.
Georgias.
Yeah.
And you're going to say, I bet Georgia, the country, sort of came first, but didn't. Yeah. Like, it's a new country. But I'm going to be an ugly American and say, like, I mean, I don't like the state Georgia that much. It's got Atlanta. I don't like the Atlanta Braves or the Atlanta Hawks or the Falcons. But I got to stand up for the U.S. and knock Georgia out of this tournament. So I'm going with Armenia.
Now here's the plus side for Georgia. They had a golden age from the 11th to 13th centuries during the reign of King David IV and Queen Tamar, which, by the way, very Jewish names during their golden age. But I think it's not ideal when your golden age was 800 years ago.
True.
Also working against Georgia.
Everyone's golden age was 800 years ago.
Yeah, the U.S.'s golden age was certainly not now. So also, Georgia, by the way, birthplace of Stalin. Another negative on their side. But, they did heroically try to turn to the West with the Rose Revolution in 2003. Of course, that led to Russia invading them in 2008. So I'm also going to vote for Armenia, mostly because, I've always sort of had a soft spot as a Jew and a victim of one genocide. I'm victims of all genocides. So the Armenians survived the Turks.
We didn't even factor America's greatest, first family is Armenian. That's a big deal.
Well, this is something I wanted to bring up as a minus. I mean, Kardashians.
Yeah, I think that's
probably
a plus.
A good point.
They are greatest export.
Also, the Georgians have lovely wine, so my vote would have been for Georgia, but right. I see I've been, overruled here.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to point out one other thing, which is there is one country in the UN, one UN state, that does not recognize Armenia. If either one of you can guess it.
Why, it'd have to be Turkey, right?
No, it's Pakistan. Pakistan has supported, ever since the Nagorno-Karabakh War, Pakistan has supported Azerbaijan and therefore does not recognize Armenia. Now, Kiev, I obviously am an expert on the Nagorno-Karabakh War, but for those who aren't, can you bring us up to date?
Oh, no.
You telling me that Azerbaijan have recognized Armenia?
But yeah, but Pakistan
is
exactly.
Who were actually a part of that war.
Yeah, exactly.
And Turkey.
Yeah, exactly.
That's brilliant. That is brilliant.
Yeah, Pakistan is to the right of Azerbaijan.
They can hold a grudge, I guess. Pakistan, wow. That's interesting note in their favor if we ever rank the Asian countries, which definitely will not happen. I think that's even more controversial.
All right. So Armenia is going to advance as the 9 seed in Europe. So we have a 6 seed Azerbaijan, a 9 seed Armenia. By the way, if they match up some later on in that bracket, that would be interesting.
Oh, we could get some real grudge matches. That's one of the best parts. Yeah. We're going to have a lot of matchups of countries that went to war with each other, Pia.
We'll advance Nagorno-Karabakh then.
Now, this is where things are going to get complicated because the 12 seed in the Eastern European region, there are many, many, many countries and pseudo countries competing for that 12 spot for the last seed. So we have play-ins to the play-ins, and then we have play-ins to the play-ins.
Why don't you just name all the countries and we'll pick? Because
I already
realized this might be I'm going to have to email Pia and Chester midway through this podcast and say, I think we have to do part two next time.
Exactly.
I don't even know how we finish this.
By the way, it's great how we started with the things that no one's heard of to really turn off all the listeners.
Well, I think Azerbaijan and Kazakhstan was a very good opener.
Yeah.
Got hot takes on that.
Okay, yeah, so then I actually did research on these. I'm not even going to get into it, Kiev. I'm just going to ask you to pick a name. Transnistria or South Ossetia? Who do you have winning?
South Ossetia I've heard of, so I'm going to go with that. It's like by the Crimean Sea or something, right?
Okay, so South Ossetia. These are all. So South Ossetia is only recognized by 5 UN states, Russia, Nicaragua, Venezuela,
Morau,
and Syria. Yeah.
Yeah, let's not.
Yeah, everyone else considers it part of Georgia and considers it Russian occupied. So
I consider it.
Yeah, but okay. So you picked South Ossetia. That's fine. Now, Abkhazia or the Republic of Artsakh, which is also known as the Nagorno Karabakh Republic, which is the name of that war I referenced.
I've never even heard of that. Whatever you
want. We need to have Nagorno Karabakh in there. Advancing Armenia and Azerbaijan. This is going to be brilliant.
I'm with Pia.
Okay, so we got a strong.
And you're right. I think we are maybe in the weeds to start here. We might be losing people who want to hear about France.
Okay, now who is going to advance? Here's the big question: who is going to advance between South Ossetia and the Republic of Artsakh? The two that we just picked.
I say Nagorno-Karabakh.
All right, I'll go with Pia here, but don't expect a full championship. This may be as far as it could go.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, who is going to advance between the Republic of Artsakh and Kosovo?
Oh, Kosovo.
Now these are all regions that are not recognized by many other countries.
Uh huh.
Well, Kosovo is recognized by quite a bunch of countries.
Yeah, Kosovo is recognized by 102 UN member states, which is why it got
not
two
by not by Serbia though, for sure.
Are they not? Are you sure?
No. Oh, I don't know. I don't think they like each
other. Anyway, most of people must have actually even heard of Kosovo, so I would think they should advance, no?
I guess. I mean, everyone likes a Cinderella story, but I think having not heard of the country, it means you're bad at public relations for yourself, because there's a lot of little places out there. That get their name in the news, either for good things or bad, but some of those countries haven't. So I have Kosovo winning also.
Yeah. By the way, I'm glad I spent hours researching all those caucus regions that we just referenced.
We very specifically said we were only gonna do 50, Chester. So you have only yourself to blame.
Yeah. All right. So Kosovo is going to advance to the final play-in for the 12 seed. It is going to face the winner of Cyprus versus Northern Cyprus.
Way
Oh.
So So very, very briefly, Cyprus is the northern part of Cyprus is Turkish. Yeah. Most of Cyprus is Greek. And so Turkey supports the independence of northern Cyprus against the rest of Cyprus, which is a lot of time saying the word Cyprus in one sentence. So, Keith, are you picking Cyprus or northern Cyprus?
I think I'm going to go with Cyprus. It seems like a more fun place to visit. I don't know. I like people are always going to Cyprus. I've never heard of northern Cyprus.
Very yeah, now, much pro-Cyprus, and I have heard of northern Cyprus, so still pro-Cyprus.
326,000, yeah. That's the population of northern Cyprus. I don't know how big Cyprus is, to be honest. I don't think it's that much bigger.
Cyprus has 1.172 million people.
Yeah, that's a small country.
Yeah, now I'm not sure, well, that's why it's a 12 seat. I'm not sure if that's including, by the way, northern Cyprus or not. But all right,
well,
so
I
now
imagine
we have,
there's different counts, yeah.
Yeah, now we have Cyprus versus Kosovo for the final matchup to be the 12 seed. To,
there's like juggling
still
10
pro-Cyprus, sorry.
Yeah. So Kosovo or Cyprus? Who's your vote for, Keith?
I'm voting for Cyprus.
All right.
Yep. I All second right. that vote.
So congratulations, Cyprus. We wasted Yay. Our time discussing a bunch of countries that aren't even recognized, and we ended up with Cyprus, the one that is. All right. So Cyprus is our 12 seed, and this is perfect. After defeating Northern Cyprus, its first matchup, and this is where we're going to start the actual bracket, it's going to face the 5 seed, Turkey.
Cyprus.
Whoa.
So okay. right off the bat, Cyprus versus Turkey. Keith, what's your take on Cyprus versus Turkey? And by the way,
does Turkey have the largest population in Europe? It does, right?
If I Turkey,
mean, I guess no, Russia.
What do you mean?
It what, does. What was, oh yeah, no, Germany is slightly bigger than Turkey, and obviously Russia's bigger. But that's it. Turkey's third in population.
Oh, in terms of population, you mean?
Yeah. Population.
Well, okay. So first of all, Turkey and Russia, I did not include in the seeding the total population of those countries. I only included the portion that is in Europe. So Turkey, the only part of Turkey that's in Europe is what's called East Thrace, which is sort of the western half of Istanbul, and then that little area. It's 3% of the Turkish land, but 14% of the Turkish population. So Turkey's population for the purpose of this tournament is about 11 million.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? Ultimately, this is about what's the best country in Europe, and Turkey is only partially in Europe.
Well,
so
but Cyprus isn't really in Europe at all, or
well, Cyprus
partially
is literally in the Middle East. But somehow, like, but Asia doesn't claim Cyprus, whereas Asia definitely claims Turkey.
Well, they do. Yep. That's why they were in the plan, in the Eurasia plan.
I mean, listen, neither of these can win because I think you really actually have to be in Europe to really make it far.
Okay.
At least for my bracket. But I'm going to have Cyprus over Turkey here.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to disagree. You know, Erdogan is a monster, obviously.
I think it's Erdogan, by the way.
Oh,
yeah,
sorry.
It is.
All right. Now, my I think
Chester
islands.
Chester just reads. He doesn't listen. He doesn't know names.
Yeah.
He just reads them.
Here's my hot take. Islands are always more famous than they deserve to be because, like, when you look at a map, the islands stand out.
Yeah. Also, as vacation spots. So it's like, oh yeah, you know people who go to
well,
Cyprus.
But hold on.
Know
but let me put it this way.
Armenia.
Okay, but you don't know anybody who's ever been to Mozambique, but you could identify Mozambique and you couldn't identify many other African countries.
Listen, I'm from the greatest island, long.
Yeah.
And I know, well, by the way, if Turkey wants to win, if we do this again in 2020, next year, you know, maybe free like some members of Enes Kanter's family and then maybe we'll let Turkey advance. But as long as they've got like their star athlete's family like in jail, I don't think it's a great sign for the country.
Yeah. And by the way,
just
I'm not sure
opinion.
If Cyprus is going to go too much further in this tournament, but I
no,
just want to point
so
out,
either.
I just want to point out there is only one non-UN member state that doesn't recognize Cyprus and that's Northern Cyprus and they beat them. And there's only one UN member state that doesn't recognize Cyprus and that's Turkey and they beat them. So Cyprus is already like on cloud nine for their performance in this tournament.
Oh, this is a win. This whole thing is a win for them.
And by the way, they might be advancing further when you see who they're playing next. But anyway.
Okay.
All right. So now let's go to the top of this region now. Which is well,
so
Russia.
So you guys advanced Cyprus, yeah?
Yeah. So Cyprus is a 12 seed. They beat the 5 seed, and they'll play the 4 seed in the next round. But
I am pro this. However, would like to point out that they keep on giving 12 points to Greece in Eurovision every single damn year, and it's terrible.
By the way, can we just talk about this for a second? Eurovision is in Tel Aviv next weekend, and Pia's a big Eurovision person. Chester.
We all
are you coming? Know? Are you coming to Israel for it? Because my brother, whose apartment is like a block away from where it's performing, he was trying to rent his apartment out for like these absurd prices. And
people aren't able to do it. They were going to bring a cruise ship in, and they didn't even need the hotel rooms. They canceled it.
Yeah.
Listen, I only go to the Eurovision if I get paid for it. Otherwise, I watch it.
Oh,
could you?
Oh, she's literally done it, Alex. She's been like part of the production.
Okay.
But. I was reading about this, and Pia could speak to this. This is fascinating. There's so much politics in Europe that the way it works, Chester, is like after. So I'm you know, the Turkish singer, and I perform, and then every country gives me you know, they rank their top 12, and the best one gets, let's just say, 12 points, and the next one gets 10. The numbers are off, but the idea is correct.
Numbers are correct.
The numbers are correct. There's politics, Chester. Some of the countries always vote for the same countries every year, which is insane. That's crazy. Honestly, it shouldn't be allowed.
12 points to Greece.
It shouldn't be allowed.
Ridiculous. And obviously, this happens with the Balkan countries as well. And it's been said it happens with the Scandinavian countries, but of course it doesn't. And, you know, it's all politics. Eurovision is absolutely amazing.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to start with this 8-9 matchup. The 8 seed is Austria. The 9 seed, by virtue of having beaten Georgia, is Armenia. Kiev, Austria's biggest, most famous strengths are skiing and killing their Jews. And Vienna is a beautiful city to discuss. Can I just... This is the opening paragraph from Wikipedia for Austria. Can I just read you this sentence?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Austria was involved in both world wars. It started the first one under Emperor Franz Joseph and served as the birthplace of Adolf Hitler, who provoked the second one.
Yep.
Yeah. That's not a great first line. If you have Hitler in your first sentence on Wikipedia, it's not ideal.
Not ideal. Yeah, even Germany doesn't. So you know what? I'm saying that Armenia upsets Austria. But Kiev, what say you?
I mean, it's tricky because you have a place in your heart for it. Like my grandmother, you know, I wish I could have met her. I never met her. She died of cancer. But she was from Austria. So I do feel it. And it was cool to be there. I felt like, you know, my father thought it was very... I don't think he's ever been back. And... I don't know if P would know this, but like a lot of our relatives would never go back to Austria or to Germany. Like, they, you know, certainly our grandparents, maybe not our parents. It is very tricky. Now, one of my criteria is honestly this. Which one, if I had to like move to one for a year, which one would I move to?
Yeah.
And I think Austria really beats Armenia here.
Yep.
You know, I don't know how you could make a case for Armenia. And Austria is definitely in Europe, whereas Armenia is questionable. So I'm going to go with Austria. And I guess it's up to Pia to pick the winner.
Right. I mean, I absolutely understand that the tradition of cheerful and quaint racism and anti-Semitism is a bit of a problem in a ranking like this or a bracket like this. But, I mean, they have Vienna. And Vienna is an amazing city. It's like this old countess who has lost all of her money, but is still kind of keeping up appearances. Mm-hmm. It's brilliant. And Austrian Airlines play waltzes during boarding. I mean, isn't that an argument?
Yeah, and it's pretty good. And it is a good airline.
Yeah, they have Mozart. Yeah. All right, so Austria advances as the 8 seed. They will face the 1 seed in the next round. All right, now we have the 6-11 matchup. The 6, Azerbaijan, having beat Kazakhstan. And the 11 seed is Slovenia. We talked about Kazakhstan and Borat before. The current president of Slovenia, his first name is actually Borat. So.
Oh boy.
That's nice. Borat Pahor. So that's Slovenia, the 11 seed against Azerbaijan. Akiv, where are you going on this matchup?
Mm-hmm. I have to say, I've met some ladies from Slovenia, and they're always very nice and they're always very pretty. I don't know what that does for Slovenia, but I feel like I have like a good history of meeting Slovenian people who are like fun.
So you have the 11 seed with the upset here,
and what's it facing? Azerbaijan.
Yeah, which isn't even part.
Also, I loved not Zidane, the fake Zidane. Their best player had 2 Z's. Also, I like that guy. Listen, we're grasping at straws, Pia. We don't have a big connection to either of these countries, so you gotta stick with whatever. So I'm gonna go with Slovenia because the pretty girls I met from.
All right. By the way, continuing in my performance of reading sentences from the opening paragraph on Wikipedia, Slovenia has the following sentence: "Quote: The human settlement of Slovenia is dispersed and uneven." I don't even know what that means.
What
does that mean?
I don't know.
So but that's like 3
so cities. I'm going to vote for Slovenia as well because Azerbaijan is really in Asia. Shouldn't be in this tournament. So Slovenia, congratulations with the big upset.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
All right. And the last first-round matchup in this region is the 7 seed Hungary against the 10 seed Moldova. Kiev, where are you going here?
I do think so. You ever play the like GeoGuessr? Have either of you guys ever played the game GeoGuessr on Google?
Yeah, where you see the picture. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, Pia, the way it works is they show you a picture that was taken on Google Maps anywhere in the world. And right. you literally pinpoint the dot where you think it is on a globe,
and it's not the Eiffel and it's not the Eiffel Tower. It's a randomized like street.
Oh yeah, yes. Yeah. It's literally a street. It's yes. a impossible street.
Yeah.
It's very cool. I knew that. Yeah. I knew that.
But but Pia, when people wanna, sometimes there'll be a thread on Reddit or something, which is like, here are like the 10 most ridiculous, you know, like Google Maps, and by ridiculous, it's like the 10 like worst streets. That look like, you know, post-apocalypse. 8 of them are in Moldova for some reason.
Well, Keith, can I give you some Moldova facts?
Yes, Moldova.
Its economy is the poorest in Europe per capita. It has the lowest human development index in the. Mm-hmm. It is the least visited country in Europe. I want you to guess how many visitors from abroad came to Moldova last year.
That's crazy. I don't really have a way to gauge it. I'm going to say way under 1 million.
Yeah, it's way under. It's 11,000.
How's that even? They must not let people in then. That's not even possible.
Yeah, I don't know how that's possible. 11,000 recorded visitors. So yeah, not ideal.
Like, what's Pia? What's the most other than like war stuff? Like, what's the most famous? What is something that people should know about Moldova? Can you give us like a positive fact about Moldova, Pia?
I have absolutely no idea, and I would not know the country exists at all if we'd not were not for Eurovision.
Yeah.
Seriously, no idea. Absolutely
I feel like
no
they have only place to they have only up to go. I've heard of Tiraspol, which I guess that's their best soccer team, so it's in maybe the Champions League in the first round or something. But I've never heard of their biggest city, Chișinău, which has 644,000 people.
All right, so yeah, Moldova's
not beating anybody in this tournament.
So, okay, so Hungary's going to advance by default, and I'll save my Hungary commentary for.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten there's like Hungary may get its day of reckoning, but it's not coming in this round.
Yeah,
exactly. Right,
okay, now let's go to the southern region now. And we'll start with the 8-9 matchup. The 8 seed is formerly known as Macedonia, now known as North Macedonia.
Yep, yep.
And the 9 seed is Montenegro.
Yeah.
Macedonia, by the way, just changed its name in February due to a dispute with Greece.
Yeah, Montenegro, I said who knew it. Like, no, it was a big deal. I knew.
Yeah.
It was a huge deal. Yeah. Seriously. Everyone Montenegro, was very relieved here in Europe.
Montenegro peacefully separated from Serbia in 2006. Anytime countries can separate peacefully in Europe, I think it's cause for celebration.
I agree. Yeah. They're really good at water polo. I think they won the gold medal recently.
That's is the national sport of Montenegro. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to vote for Montenegro over North Macedonia, but what about you?
Macedonia is actually much bigger. Macedonia has 2 million people. Montenegro, as I guess you'd guess from the country that broke away from a small country, is in the 600,000s.
Yeah, well, that's why Macedonia is the
highest. I'm trying to think. There's definitely an NBA player from Montenegro. For whatever reason, Serbia, Croatia, Montenegro, those countries like produce like crazy amounts of good NBA players. I don't have a strong take, honestly, on either country. But I... Don't you think that Macedonia rebranding to North Macedonia makes them seem smaller? Like, Macedonia is a country. Now you're just like the north part of that country.
No. They had to, because Macedonia is in Greece, and the Greek did not accept them. Well, they wanted to call themselves Macedonia, and the Greeks said, no way, this is not happening. So the poor people went around for 20 years calling themselves the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia.
And Yugoslavia doesn't even exist anymore. Yeah,
exactly. They were called Fyrom, the poor, poor thing.
Yeah. All right. So you're saying we should have some, as our people would say, Rachmanut on them. We should have some mercy for them and put them. I'll move Macedonia through. I'm happy now.
By the way, Kiev, there are 6 NBA players from Montenegro. There is Nikola Mirotic, who is actively playing right now, of course.
Good player.
Sasha Pavlovic, Nick Pekovic, who was on the Timberwolves before he got injured. Peja Dromjak. So yeah, quite a few NBA players from Montenegro.
That's
very small country.
That's a lot for a tiny country. Yeah.
Yeah, so not bad on their end. North Macedonia, I do not believe, has had any NBA players.
Since you're from Finland, can you name the one Finnish? There might be more, but there's one good one. The one Finnish NBA player?
Nope.
Okay. They call him the Finisher. That's his nickname.
The Finisher.
Do they really? Oh, that is so creative. Yeah.
You'd know him if you saw him on the street, because I feel like he'd be the tallest guy there.
I'm pretty sure that would be the case, yes.
By the way, he was born in the town of Vantaa.
Vantaa is close to Helsinki.
Oh, well, there was another one who was born in Helsinki who I never heard of, Hanno Motola. But yeah, we're talking about Lord.
Oh, yeah, he was on the Bulls, maybe, I think.
Yeah. Metropolitan Helsinki.
All right, so you both voted for North Macedonia, so they're advancing.
Macedonia.
Oh, yes. Yes, right. Just because they got rid of Fyrom.
Okay, now we have the 5-12 matchup, the 12 seed, the smallest country in all of Europe, with a population of 842 people, is the Vatican City, the Holy See. Mm-hmm. And it's facing the 5 seed, Croatia. Croatia is a very popular tourist destination right now.
Very hot, right?
Yeah.
People
shockingly
really
good. Yeah, shockingly good soccer team also.
They made the World Cup finals with 4 million people.
Yeah, so I'm voting for Croatia over the Vatican.
Yeah, I mean, Vatican's just not a country. Like, I'm not insulting the Vatican City.
Yeah,
you
can't have 800 people and call yourself a country.
Well, we're saying what's the best country, like, you're not a country. And by the way, you want to be a country, start a soccer team.
Yeah.
I want to see the Vatican soccer team.
And take the word city out of the name of your country.
I agree. You can't be a city. That's true. That's a good point. Take city out of country if you want to be.
And by the way,
even a city. It's a tiny part of Rome with some guys in robes pretending to be an actual country. It's not. No.
By the way, we have a dynamite matchup, and when I say dynamite, I mean there might literally be explosions in the next round because it's going to be Croatia against Serbia. But
oh boy,
but we'll get to that in a second. All right, the 6-11 matchup, yet another former part of the Yugoslavia, Bosnia and Herzegovina is the 6 seed, and the 11 seed is another town that isn't a real country, is San Marino. San Marino has 33,000 people, so a lot.
San Marino does compete in UEFA. Like, San Marino literally has to go up against like the German soccer team.
Well, can I tell you, in 1993. San Marino was playing England in a World Cup qualifier and scored a goal 8 seconds into the match, which at the time was the quickest goal in history.
Yeah, and did they lose 6-1 after?
They lost 7-1, but yeah.
But still, UEFA, Färöar are playing in UEFA. I mean, it doesn't. Having a team doesn't qualify you to be a country, does it?
No, that's true. So it has very low unemployment, no national debt. Can you tell us who lives in San Marino? Do you know?
List all 33,000.
Like, is it? No, I'm saying, is it like Monaco, where like are people moving there because of the financial situation? Like, what's going on? Who's there?
No idea. No idea. I mean, my take would have been that it's probably like the hipster answer for a top five. But you know, let's be honest, no one knows anything about San Marino.
All right, do you know what language they speak there, Chester?
Yeah, San Marinoese.
San Marinoese.
Italian, right?
It's Italian, yes, Italian.
Yeah.
Obviously.
All right, so Bosnia, it's a city off of... okay, so Bosnia and Herzegovina.
San Marino against Bosnia and Herzegovina, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kiev, who are you picking here?
Bosnia and Herzegovina, which is too hard to pronounce, and that will definitely be a demerit in the future. But again, San Marino, it's not a country. I'm sure it's a lovely place. We're not knocking it, but it's not a country. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Not a real country. No.
Last first round matchup in this region is the 7 seed Albania against the 10 seed Malta. Albania is a former communist country. It's known as the land of the eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're not fans of the eagles, either the football team or the band.
Or the band. We don't like the band, the Eagles, at all.
Yeah. Malta, by the way, is so Malta, you know how like Sicily is like that little, like it looks like the thing that's been kicked by the boot of Italy. So Malta is like the two smaller islands that have basically fallen off of Sicily.
Yeah.
Malta and
It's part of the British Commonwealth. Maltese, by the way, is the only Semitic language in the EU. Mm-hmm. And, when I hear Malta, usually I think of, obviously, you know, the famous novel, Maltese Falcon, which was also a movie with Humphrey Bogart. Can I tell you where the term Maltese Falcon comes from?
Tell us.
On 23 March 1530, Charles V, the Holy Roman Emperor, gave the islands of Malta to the Knights Hospitaller under the leadership of Philippe Villiers de l'Isle Adam, who was the Grand Master of the Order, in perpetual lease, for which they had to pay an annual tribute of one single Maltese Falcon.
Wow.
So, yeah. So the Maltese Falcons are worth an entire country, apparently. Very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going up against Albania. I'm, not a fan of the Eagles, so I'm going to vote for Malta here.
You know, Malta's small, but it's not absurdly small. It's 475,000 people, which I guess could be like a functioning country. Yeah. Whereas Albania has like 2 million, also very small.
Yeah.
I don't have a strong take on either one, so I'm going to flip a coin.
Literally. Don't flip a coin.
No? I mean, oh, fine. I'm picking Malta then.
Okay.
Oh, well done, you.
Malta advances. All right. Now let's jump over to Northern Europe, where we're in, which is the home of one of our hosts, one of our guests today. The 8-9 matchup, we hop right into both the Baltics and the Scandinavians. The 8 seed is Norway, and the 9 seed is Lithuania. So, Kiev, where are you voting on this one?
I'm definitely going with Norway. You know, as a big winter sports guy, gotta shout out my boy Johannes Thingsbø. Norway also just seems to punch above its weight, like worldwide, considering it's kind of a small country.
Well, they dominate in the Winter Olympics, of course. Yeah,
yeah. Not just in sports. I feel like they're just, you know, they're good at getting their name out there. So yeah. Shout out to Norway.
Now you know, Lithuania obviously has a very significant, or not obviously, has a very significant role for Ashkenazi Jews. It was
a lot of our relatives are originally from Lithuania.
Yeah, and during Vilnius, the 14th century, by the way, during the 14th century, the Grand Duchy of Lithuania was the largest country in Europe. So Lithuania had their moment in the sun. There were 250,000 Jews almost in Lithuania in June of 1941. 4 years later, there were almost zero. Percentage-wise, I think they are the winner of the Holocaust in getting rid of your Jews.
Wow.
Norway didn't have any Jews, but Norway, which was facing up, I know there were zero Jews in Norway at the end of the Holocaust. Literally zero, not one.
But how many were there before?
Not so many.
That's an excellent question.
Yeah.
Probably like 153. Yeah.
So Lithuania, nearly a perfect sweep of their Jews. So bad job by Lithuania, and Norway is going to advance here.
I completely agree.
Although they had like a weird, like a very large number of Lithuanian people who, you know, risked their life to protect Jewish people in the Holocaust.
Yeah, I think there's something like
countries.
Yeah, I think there's like 800 or 900. Like there's many, many members of the Righteous Among the Gentiles, which is in Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Memorial Museum in Jerusalem. Any Gentile who risked their life to save Jews during the Holocaust is identified as Righteous Among the Gentiles, and there's like almost 1,000 of them from Lithuania.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's lovely.
Shout out to them.
Yeah, shout out to those
and
folks.
And to Vilnius. So. Well, Vilnius was Vilna, right? Back in the
well, we call it Vilna, but I think in Yiddish it's Vilna, but in Lithuanian it's Vilnius.
Vilnius,
so.
Yes.
But it's still the main city, I think.
Yeah, yeah. All right, now let's jump to the 5-12 matchup, which is Scandinavia on Scandinavia, Denmark, which is kind of a poser of Scandinavia because you know it's part of like you know mainland Europe, you know connected to Germany, obviously, but it is technically part of Scandinavia.
Because of the language and the culture, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't really have snow, right, Denmark?
What's it again?
They don't really have snow, at least in comparison to Finland, Norway, and Sweden, right?
They rarely have snow, and they can't deal with it either. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, that's embarrassing. To be in Scandinavia, to not have snow is embarrassing, honestly.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
We think
now,
so.
Now,
actually,
we were, you know, we were talking about the Holocaust. We have to acknowledge, I think the Danish did the best of saving their Jews during the Holocaust. You know, they put them all on boats and sent them across to Sweden or Norway, or one
Sweden.
Of both of them, to Sweden.
Sweden, because the Nazis occupied Norway.
Denmark also gives us Legos, which is a big plus.
Exactly.
Except that I step on them and injure my feet all the time because my kids leave them everywhere.
I had two daughters who never played with Legos, and I like people would always talk about that, and I like wasn't familiar with it. And then my sons play with Legos, and now I just step on them all day.
All right, so they're the 5 seed.
After I broke my foot, I stepped on a Lego, and I was so mad, I kicked the couch. And I'm like, oh, I think I broke my foot a second time. So bad.
You deserve it. All right, so they're facing the 12 seed. They're facing Iceland, which, as I said before, like islands always kick above their weight. Iceland's population is less than like Malta's.
Yeah.
Oh,
this is tough.
How did this happen?
This is so early.
Yeah, Iceland is very upset.
We spoke before about Croatia being a popular place to visit. Iceland is white hot.
Yeah,
Rob and by the way, we did the Seinfeld podcast. Rob and I got invited to a bachelor party in Iceland.
Spoiler alert, I ranked my country because I thought this is a ranking. And you are, my number one is playing against my number six.
Oh, wow. Don't tell us which one.
No.
I guess we'll know when you have a winner.
Super fan Robbie, by the way, also had his bachelor party in Iceland.
Did he really?
Yeah. Now, Iceland is the number one in the world in median wealth per adult, number one in the Global Peace Index. It's run completely on renewable energy. So a formidable opponent, but I'm going to vote for Denmark over Iceland. Keith, what about you?
I'm an Iceland guy. The only bad part of Iceland is famously in the Mighty Ducks 2. Like, there's no reason they should guys. Have that team.
Yeah.
They're the bad guys in Mighty Ducks. I do want to go there. I'd love to go to Reykjavik. They also have Sigur Rós and a lot of musicians, considering it's such a tiny country. They really punch above their weight culturally.
By the way, another former guest on our podcast, Shamir Simon, just messaged me an hour ago that he's going to Iceland this summer.
So. But you didn't go to Robbie's bachelor party. That was in Iceland, right?
Oh, no, I did not.
So you've never been. Pia, have you been to other than have you been to almost every one of these countries we've discussed? I mean, I know you haven't been to Moldova.
I haven't been to many of the Eastern European ones. I've been to almost every one of the Western European ones. Iceland being one where I have not been to, which is
you've never been. Wow.
Wow. No, and this needs to happen.
How would you get there when you were growing up in Finland? How easily could you get from Finland to Iceland?
Well, go to the airport, take a plane, eh?
Oh, so it's not, you can't drive there because it's an island. Okay.
Sweetie.
You, what about a boat? I mean, there's probably short boat
trips. Yeah.
But well, maybe from Sweden, or but I mean, Finland's on the wrong side of Scandinavia.
Map in my head, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So right, I agree. Both these countries could, but I got Iceland beating Denmark.
All right, so Pia, you're the tiebreaker.
Oh God, I don't know what to do because you know Denmark—they have Legoland. They have a literal amusement park dedicated to Legos, mm-hmm. which is absolutely amazing. Also, special mention to the greatest troll in history. Must have been the Viking who called a huge landmass of ice Greenland.
Yeah.
Come on, it's amazing. On the other hand, you've got Iceland and the trolls and very nearly a living language museum because they speak mm-hmm. Viking Norse. And beer has been legal since 1989, which is a plus. I don't know. I think I need to go Iceland.
This is tough. I know.
Sorry,
there should almost be a second chance tournament.
This is
an edge of extinction.
Totally. Yeah. Wow.
All right. Let's let's move on to the favorite son of one of the people on today's podcast, Finland, the 6th seed, going up against Estonia, the 11th seed. Estonia is my least favorite of the Balkans. Yeah, let's just say vote for Finland and move on.
Yeah, Finland's going to beat Estonia here. No offense. Yeah. Estonia's
fine. No. Stop. Guys,
what?
Guys.
Oh, no.
On my ranking, Estonia was way ahead of Finland.
But you're from Finland.
Oh, wow.
Well,
disloyalty from the Finn. Oh, that is true. She did leave.
I thought out of pity, we're going to have to put Finland in the final four for you.
Oh, God, no. I mean, the Finns obviously have Lori, who are the best winners of Eurovision ever. But on the other hand, it's basically an island without the fun bits. As I was growing up, the only train going to a foreign country from Helsinki went to Leningrad. I mean, that's called trauma, ladies
now,
and gents.
Then I have a question for you, Pia. Finns are ranked the happiest people in the world, so how do you explain that?
Are they really?
Yeah.
They're always ranked in all those things. It's it's all the Nordic countries are top five.
Finland was number one in 2019 for the second year in a row. They were number one in 2018 as well.
Isn't that just standard of living? Are the Finns actually happy?
It's self-reported.
Yeah, maybe they're happy you left. You're crashing them.
Probably, exactly.
They got rid of their haters. Yeah.
But it's hilarious that you have Finland and Estonia going against each other. Because, the Finnish language is part of the Finno-Ugric languages, which is a tiny little language group consisting of Finnish, Estonian, Hungarian, a couple of languages spoken by three grandmas somewhere in Russia. So you have the brothers going against each other. I'm voting for Estonia. What are you voting for?
Wow. We're going to have Finland. No offense to your homeland. But the people in Finland, what percentage of people in Finland, if you had to guess, speak English?
98.
Oh, okay, fine.
Isn't that true for most of Western and Northern Europe?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I had five languages in school, including Finnish.
Yeah.
What do you speak? English, German, Finnish. What are the other languages you speak?
French, Swedish. Swedish is the second official language in Finland. And now I'm mucking about with Spanish, so I'm working on my sixth.
Okay.
Moving on to number six. Very impressive. Yeah. Keith, how many languages do we speak? Half?
I mean, I know English good.
Yeah. All right. All right.
If you grow up in Finland, you got to learn languages. There's no way someone is learning your language.
All right. Last first round matchup in Northern Europe. It is the 7th seed Slovakia against the 10th seed Latvia.
Ooh, I thought we'd get Slovakia versus Czech Republic. That would have been a juicy matchup.
Yeah. See, well, this was a Finland-Estonia one there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, I will not say who the winner of this could face, but you know, we'll find out. But all right. So
Slovakia versus whom?
Latvia.
Yeah, Slovakia is going to beat Latvia. No offense to Latvia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Latvia is, you know, the birthplace of my grandfather, so I have to give it a little nod. Can I give you – so I did a report on a country in fifth grade. It's a country that no longer exists, Czechoslovakia.
Yeah.
But Czechoslovakia existed from 1918 to 1939. And then from 1945 to 1993. Now, what happened between 1939 and 1945, you ask? Well, there was a separate – the first Slovak Republic, which was a totalitarian, fascist, one-party client state of Nazi Germany. So, bad job by the Slovaks during World War II. I'm going to vote for Latvia. Not that they did so well in World War II either. But I think that Pia already said her tiebreaker vote is going for Slovakia. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, I would think so, because I mean, I grew up in Finland. I grew up like right across from Latvia and Lithuania, and I still can't keep them apart.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
And by the way, the two seed in Northern Europe is the Czech Republic. So in the next round, we're gonna have the Czechs against the Slovaks, the Serbs against the Croats.
We need to do this.
Yeah, we're gonna have some great battles in the thrifty 32 if we ever get there. Let's get to the last region here, Western Europe. We're gonna start with the 8-9 matchup. There's a real drop off between the top eight in terms of the seeds in this region, because Ireland is the 8 seed with almost 5 million people. The 9 seed Luxembourg has about 500,000 people. It is the world's only remaining Grand Duchy. And it is our 9 seed, Luxembourg, against Ireland. Kiev, Ireland's going to win. Let's save time, right?
Yeah, although, Pia, I don't know if you know, we ranked the flag. We ranked every country's flag a couple years ago.
I read about this, and I never listened. I'm so mad I never listened.
You could go back, but Luxembourg has a very nice flag. I just want to shout out Luxembourg's flag. It's very nice.
Yeah, and I just want to remark that there are like silly tiny ones in Europe and proper tiny ones, and this one is a proper tiny one.
Yeah, they're one of three European capitals, I think, right?
Yeah, and I mean, the only thing about them is they try to tell us that that Luxembourgish would be a language. It's not. It's not a thing. Sorry.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a German dialect. So, yes, I'm fine with advancing.
All right. Speaking of European capitals, we have our 5 seed Belgium going against our 12 seed Monaco. Monaco is not a country. It's a city on the French Riviera.
Yeah.
It's less than one square mile.
Yeah.
It's basically a haven for tax avoidance. 30% of its population is millionaires.
It's just rich tennis players who don't want to pay
taxes. By the way, can I just point out, the Monte Carlo, which is, like, at least according to movies, a beautiful casino, is also the name of like one of the crummiest casinos in Las Vegas, which is very ironic.
Yeah, but, I think New York is not so nice either. Although
Not great.
That's not the
casino so nice they named it twice.
Poor people in Monaco.
All right.
Still, I completely agree. Too snooty, too rich, and they used to be pirates. I mean, stop pretending. Get a grip.
Oh, anti-pirate pockets.
I didn't even know that.
Okay. So Belgium, the 5 seed, advances, and which means they're going to go against their neighbor, the Netherlands, the next round.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
The Benelux battle.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Okay. Now let's go to the 6-11 matchup. It's Portugal against Liechtenstein. Portugal, Luís Figo and that stupid soccer team let me down many, many times. Liechtenstein, again, fewer than 40,000 people.
By the way, I was by the Western Wall a few years ago, and the Liechtenstein soccer team was playing Israel, and they went to visit, and
they were there
I
at that time
for a few minutes. They were all there. They had clearly been instructed not to speak out of respect because like they didn't want to talk. But I was just like, it's okay, you guys can talk. Yeah. You won't get in trouble. And then I said worst of luck, and they laughed, and I walked away.
Now Liechtenstein was once known as a billionaire tax haven, but they're working on that. And they got some pretty mountains, but you know,
it looks like a very nice country, but it's a little too small for our purposes, I think.
All right, so Portugal's going to advance here.
Well, you think Liechtenstein? First of all, I'm a big Portugal guy, so you're not really going to be able to talk me off Portugal.
This is also a very, very close friend for me, but I have to remark that, the people in Liechtenstein. It's called Liechtenstein, by the way. It's an actual principality with an actual prince, which I find quite quaint and lovely, and they have left all of the military matters to Swiss, which in my opinion is an extremely wise move, and more of us should do that.
Well, the Swiss are known for their military.
Exactly.
All right,
but
well, speak of the devil,
advance Portugal, it's fine.
Okay, that's our last matchup.
Liechtenstein, they don't need our approval. The average salary in Liechtenstein is 166,000. Monaco and Luxembourg are the only, and Bermuda, and that's not even necessarily Bermuda's money. are the only ones over 80. They're over twice as rich as every other country in the world.
Yep.
Yeah, they're doing okay.
So they don't need our help.
They're doing fine.
All right. So the last matchup in the first round is the 7 seed Switzerland against the 10 seed Andorra. Andorra is a tiny town in the Pyrenees between Spain and France. It has the highest life expectancy in the world. Now, here's a weird thing. It's governed by two co-princes, one of whom is the president of France. Now, the people of Andorra don't get to vote in France, and yet who the French vote for becomes their own prince. So Emmanuel Macron, not voted for by anyone in Andorra, is currently the co-prince of Andorra. But you know what? I'm voting for Andorra over Switzerland because, you know, say what you will for National Socialism, at least it's an ethos. And the Swiss, their policy of neutrality in the face of pure evil, I still don't forgive them. So I'm voting for Andorra.
Yeah, they don't want to. They don't want to be part of this. They want to be neutral here. So I wouldn't. If I was Andorra, I wouldn't get too excited. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, Andorra has a tough matchup in the next round.
I'm with you guys because I have still not gotten over up until Innerorden granting women the right to vote in local election in 1991. Yeah,
Switzerland didn't allow women to vote till 1991.
It's one canton, like one state of Switzerland.
Oh, okay.
The Swiss women in general, I think they got the right to vote in general elections in 1967, which was desperately late as well. But there was one canton, one of their states, who then finally agreed to let us participate in their local elections in 1991.
Wow.
Goodbye, Switzerland. Yeah. Nice knowing you.
All right, now, Kiev, we're at the hour mark, and we finally made it to the thrifty 32, as we like to call it here on 32 Fans.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't even mentioned all the big seeds who got the first round buys. Your Germany's, your Italy's, UK, France, etc. You know, this wasn't planned, but I think that we chop this into a two-parter. And if Pia's available next week, we come back next week. And we jump into our round of thrifty 32. We've gotten rid of all the countries nobody's ever heard of, and now we can get serious.
P, is that okay with you? And if for whatever reason you're not available, you could also send us your ranked choice, and we could just use your.
Yeah, and I'm sure we can find another guest.
Are you kicking me off the podcast, yeah. Akiva?
No, I want you to come back, but I also don't want to. No, you were wonderful. I just don't want to make you feel like you're obligated to come back.
You want to do this next week.
Or whenever. Same. We could continue part two when all three of us are available. It could be next week.
We have our 32, our thrifty 32. We have the survivors of the early round carnage. And it's time to get serious, I think, you know.
I think this is a good idea. If you just, if next week, same time would be okay for you, it's okay for me.
I don't know the exact time. We could work that off air, but I'm sure we can work something out. Chester and I have.
Lovely.
All right. So, Pia, thank you so much for joining
Thanks,
us.
Thanks, Pia. You really crushed it. You know, you brought a little too many facts and not enough, you know, smoking hot takes that were based on nothing, like which one has a better sports team. But we'll still appreciate it.
Yeah. We were looking for more xenophobia and ignorance, but we'll work on it next week when we get jump into the round of the Thrifty 32.
Mm-hmm. I shall try to do better.
Yeah. All right, Kiev, I will talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.